was a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Thanking God for the many blessings that He has given us, that we may always continue to remember that He is God and all that He has created. He created, the Bible says, was very good. Man has messed many of things up, but all that God has created was very good. On this morning, I would like to talk about five different crowns that the Bible speaks of. And as we look at these scripture references here and we talk about these things, I want us all to realize that in the end, that if we do not make it in, we only have self to blame. We've seen people run races. We've seen people participate in different sporting events. And even ourselves, we have done relays. We have done things that we did not finish in a manner which we could receive first place, second place, or third place. And many times they gave us consolation prizes. A consolation prize is given to one who does not finish the race, or one that does not come in first place. Second and third, you know, you're like, wow, man, thank you for the ribbon, but if I didn't get first place, I didn't want to run. That's how many people feel. I ran races where I didn't always win. I ran a race one time and I barely finished. I was mad at the track coach. I was used to running the open quarter and I was pretty good at it. And he said, Spencer, you're going to run the 880 or the 800 meters. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. And you know, there are some people that need to go to Missouri. You have to show them in order for them to believe you. Well, I got out there and I started running. And I ran that first quarter and I gave it all I had. The second quarter, I almost stopped and started walking. This big guy passed me, and I was like, oh, man. I put my hands on my head like this, and I barely made it across the finish line. I did not get any prize. I got ate up by the coach. He ate me out. He gave me what for. But you know what he did not do? He did not put me on that 800 meters again. I still was able to be on the track team. I was pretty good. A consolation prize I did not get. But many people today are looking for some type of reward from God for something that they have not done. If you do not keep the word that is in this book, sad to say, you will not make it in. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the latter part, you all know it. You all know it well. Be thou faithful as long as you want to. As long as mama's happy, daddy's happy, grandma's pleased. Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. Who is that crown for, once again? For those that are faithful unto the end. Those men, those women that have died in faith will receive a crown of life come judgment. What about you? What about me? Are we going to receive a crown of life in the end? If we do not remain faithful, we will not. If you are not a part of the family of God, you will not receive a crown of life in the end if you die in your sins. You're going to receive a reward. It's not a consolation prize. It's the place that was prepared for the Satan and his angels, for the devil and his angels. The place is called hell. The Bible speaks of that place in the book of Revelation, the place where people are going to go, Revelation chapter 21. Let's just read a little bit of this, and let's see what the Lord says. Revelation chapter 21. He talks of this place. Let's talk about heaven just for a moment, because that's where we all want to go. It mentions in Revelation 21, in the verses 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne said, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." This place is called heaven. This place where there will be no more dying. The place where there will be no more sorrow. The place where there will be no more tears. Where there will be no more pain. When you exercise your body getting ready for races, you endure pain. You endure pain to the point where you just want to give up. You just want to quit. You just don't want to see or hear anything else about any other race again, because your body is in pain. The Bible says if you get to heaven, I'm telling you, if you get to heaven, there will be no more pain. You don't have to wake up in the middle of the night and say, "Oh, my leg is cramping. Could you massage that spot right there? It is giving me a fit." You don't have to worry about that in heaven. You're not going to have this body. You know, a lot of us look at our bodies and we say, "We think we look pretty good." Others look at your body and you say, "I need to do some work." You don't have to worry about that if you get to heaven. You're not going to have this old body. No more pain, no more crying. You know, the Bible don't even speak of tears of joy here. It said, no more tears, no more crying. It's going to be a time of rejoicing. A time to be around the throne with the Father, with other faithful individuals that have died and around the throne praising God, wearing the crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. But who is not going to get there? Let's drop down to verse 8. But as for the cowardly, those that do not want to stand up for the truth, those that do not want to defend the faith, the cowardly, the faithless, those that have not believed in God's word, those that have not been steadfast to the teachings of our Lord, to the teachings of the apostles, the faithless, the detestable. And as for murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. The second death. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know what's happening right here in the book of Revelation chapter 21? It is talking about those individuals that have been judged and those individuals that have been faithful, those that have gone to heaven, those that are going to go to hell. The second death. If you die faithful, you don't have to worry about a second death. You're going to be raised to live forever. But if you die unfaithful, away from God, you will be raised to die again. You know how we feel about death. Oh, I don't want to die. I've seen my mom, I've seen my dad, I've seen my grandma, I've seen the pain that they were going through as they were dying. A lot of people do not have the luxury to die in their sleep. That's how many of us want to go. If I have to go, let me go quick. Let me die in my sleep. The prayer that we used to pray as kids, "Lord, if I die before I wake, my soul take." I know I messed that up. That's okay, too. That's one of them prayers, you know, that just hit and miss. But that's what, you know, y'all know the prayer. That's why you're laughing. "Lord, if I die before I wake, my soul," what, how does it go? my soul to take. If you die before you wait, he's going to take your soul. But you know where your soul is going to go? Your soul is going to either go to torment or paradise. That's where it's going to go. Just because you pray that prayer doesn't mean that you are a child of God. That was a prayer that we told our little children. Our little children were safe in the eyes of God. If they died in their sleep, oh, they were going to paradise. But as you got older and you, oh, I'm going to pray this prayer and everything's going to be all right if I die in my sleep. You know how bad you were. Instead of asking the Lord your soul to take, you should have been praying for forgiveness. Amen. You should have been trying to obey the gospel. Because the Bible, again, it says, who is going to encounter the second death? Oh, yeah. Brother Spencer, you're supposed to be talking about crowns of life. You're supposed to be talking about crowns of righteousness. You're supposed to be talking about the incorruptible crown. Oh, we're going to talk about those things. But as we talk about those things, we need to make sure that we understand that everybody is not going to get to heaven. Everybody's not going to get there. That's why there's two places that has been prepared. One for Satan and his angels, and the other for God's children. Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. Just as Thomas... Let me get this for you. We're going to read that next verse right there, but let me make sure I get you the right words here. First part I know. Let's get the rest of it. John chapter 14. And we get down to verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? How can we know the way? Now, this is where people are confused today. They think that you can get to heaven any kind of way. Just because it said, be thou faithful unto death, you'll receive a crown of life. Everybody said, oh, I'm going to get me a crown. Man, we're going to enter this contest. You see that trophy up there? That trophy is mine. You know, we used to do that with little kids when I used to coach baseball. We used to ask the parents, you know, to donate a couple of dollars because at the end of the season, we want everybody to get a trophy. Sorry person on the team. We didn't have no sorry people. Sorry person on the team got a trophy. The best person on the team got a trophy. We wasn't in first place, second place, third place, but we made sure all of our, at the end of the thing, when we had this little gathering, every team member got a trophy. And you know, all those trophies were the same size. All of them were the same size because all of them played on the same team. Amen. But when we look at what Jesus says right here, that when people think just because they're worshiping God, they think their worship is acceptable, we need to think again. Amen. Because he says there in verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Amen. How are you going to get a crown? You have to go through the Son. Amen. To get to the Father. You have to cross the finish line in order to get a prize. And the good thing about this prize that we're looking for, this crown that we're looking for, there's no one that's going to be crowned before anybody else. Oh, come on, let's join hands and let's go across the line together. You know, I know we've been training for this for a long time, and this is an important race. But, you know, your teammate is right there, or your sister is right there, your brother is right there. And as you're running this race, say, I don't want to leave him behind. I don't want to leave her behind. So let's join together and let's cross this finish line together. But you know, you got some selfish people in this world. You made that pact with one another that we're going to cross this finish line together. But you know what someone does? They lean forward when they get there. And they say, well, you know, they was close. Let's go get a Photoshop. Let's see exactly who won this race. And it points out the one that cheated. Oh, look. That big head joker right there, he leaned his head forward, he got the prize. Or that big foot joker right there, he stepped his foot out a little bit further than everybody else, he got the prize. He won, and the rest of you, there's no consolation prizes. Not a one consolation prize. You don't get anything. Thank you for participating. But do not pass go, do not collect $200. So we have to understand that if Jesus is the way, which way should we go? What should we do? How should we behave ourselves? We should understand that we're looking for this crown of righteousness. And as we're looking for this crown of righteousness, we have to go to the Word of God, and we have to do everything that God says. Because Paul wrote to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It isn't going to be a shame that, you know, so many people have been running this race, and in the end, they're not going to get in because they didn't strive the way that they were supposed to strive. They didn't run the way they were supposed to run. And we're going to get to that in just a moment as the scripture reference was read earlier. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and the verse is 8. As Paul says here, he says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me in that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. All that has loved his appearing. And now here's the world. I love to praise God. I love to see him come in the clouds of glory right now. I love those things. So I'm going to give me a crown. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, not anything different from what Paul is saying right here, but Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Those are the words of Jesus. Now the words of Jesus, do they override the words of Paul? The answer is no, they do not override the words of Paul, because it's all the Word of God. He says again, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. It is laid up for me. He said, but not just for me. You know, as Paul was writing to Timothy, he said to Timothy, that crown can be yours as well. If you love the appearing of God, if you look at what I'm telling you, if you keep these things, if you teach these things, the crown can be yours as well. You know what that's telling me? And that's what it's telling you. It's telling you that crown can be yours. That crown can be each one of ours. It's going to cover us. It's going to cover us because we understand what God wants us to do. We understand what living right is all about. And if you're here this morning and you understand what living right is all about and you're not doing it, do as Gary did. Confess your faults. Get your life together. Now he's already a Christian, so all he has to do is repent. That's all he did this morning. He repented. He confessed. But if you're not a Christian, you have to obey the gospel. You have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to be immersed in a watery grave. You have to come out of that grave in order to walk a newness of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and ye shall receive a crown of life. Now we look at this crown of life, and we look at this crown of righteousness, and the crown of life, it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This crown of righteousness, it says, it is not only given to me, but to them also that love his appearing. I mentioned on last Sunday, those two crowns that it mentions there, no one will be left out that has died in Christ. No one will be left out. But as we think about these crowns, there's one more that we need to consider as we look at it, and then there's going to be two more after that. But this next one, we have to understand that as you see those trophies that you have gained, that you have worn throughout the years, and all they're doing is sitting on a shelf somewhere collecting dust, and one day they'll be like the ones that my brother won. My mom tossed them out of the house because she didn't want them in her house anymore. Those trophies, they will perish away. But the crown that we're looking for, we're looking for an incorruptible crown. One that will never, ever perish, but incorruptible. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, and then we're going to go back up to verse 25, and we'll go back up to verse 24 in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Incorruptible crown. So there's two we got out of the way so far, right? We have a crown of life and a crown of righteousness. Then we look at this third one here, which is an incorruptible crown. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. And they that do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. There's a big race coming along, and I'm going to run that race. Brother Mark and I, we're training in our minds. And I got out there running a little bit, but Brother Mark and I hadn't really gotten together yet. And, you know, I want to see what his stride is like, and he's going to see what my stride is like, and I'm going to try to match his stride because I don't want to leave him. And I don't want him to leave me. Okay, Brother Mark? But we're not trying to get first place. I just want y'all to know that right now. We're just running. We're going to get a consolation prize. Our wives are going to rub us down once we get back home. That's a consolation prize. Oh, we ran. We got the T-shirt. But we didn't get first place. Now, the only way we're going to get first place, Brother Mark, is people are going to fall out. And they don't show up. And that has happened in many races. Man, I got first place. How many people were there? Me. But we got this ribbons. We got these T-shirts that all of a sudden they just, you know, man, that was my favorite T-shirt. I wore it all the time. Now it has holes in it. It's corruptible. It's corruptible. It's only going to last a little while. But this crown, this incorruptible crown, will last throughout all eternity. That's a long time, isn't it? Man, is that crown going to ever fade? No. Do you ever have to polish it? No. Or are you going to ever take it off? No. I'm proud of this crown. I'm proud of it because I earned this crown. I did what God wanted me to do. Incorruptible. The crown for people who brought their body under subjection, the Bible talks about in verse 24. Let's go back up and read that. First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse is 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, you know, as I look at myself, I keep myself in order. I make sure that I discipline my body on a daily basis that when I tell someone that they need to do something or tell them they need to continue to do these things, I myself am doing them. He says, I want an incorruptible crown. I want a crown that will never fade away. I want a crown that God has given me, and God will never take it away from me because now I'm in his presence. Amen. That's the type of crown we all should be striving for. So we have three crowns right there that all will receive if they die faithful. You'll receive a crown of life, you'll receive a crown of righteousness, and you'll receive an incorruptible crown. Isn't that great? Three crowns in one day. One day, three crowns. And all you had to do is live your life faithful. Is that all? Is that hard? Or is it easy? You know, we have to ask ourselves that question. What is so hard about rolling out of bed in the morning? What is so hard about going to work and doing your job? What is so hard about coming home and spending time with your family? What's so hard about those things? If you love it, nothing. If you don't love it, oh, you're going to have some difficult times. You're going to have some trials and tribulations that you have to go through in this life. But as you go through those trials and tribulations, I want you to understand that one day they all will end and you can receive a crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verses 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verses 19. You remember I preached a sermon about one size fits all. The crowns that we're talking about here, you don't have to worry about what size head you have. That crown is going to fit you. You don't have to worry about messing up your hair. That crown is going to fit you. You have to understand that these things are spiritual, but God has promised them to those that live according to his purpose. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Or not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So what is this crown of rejoicing all about? This crown of rejoicing is about what we talked about when we first started there in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4, where God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. There should be no more death. There should be no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither should there be any pain. Crown of rejoicing. town of rejoicing. Everyone is going to be able to stand around the throne and rejoice. Why? Because you're wearing a crown. You're wearing a crown. You know, there are certain people that the king would use in his court. The jester, he'll use him. The cupbearer, he'll use him. All these different people had different jobs that they had to perform in order to please the king. I wouldn't have been a good taster. I just want you to know that right now. Anita always trying to get me to taste something. Her taste buds are still not where they need to be. And she said, "Will you taste this and see if it's too salty?" "Baby, you know how I am. Yeah, it's good. It's okay." And then just the other day, she's going to fix a sandwich. She said, "What do you want on your sandwich?" "I want Miracle Whip on mine." Then she's going to fix her one. She's going to put some ranch dressing on it. And then she's going to say, "Here, taste this." "I don't want that. I asked for Miracle Whip." I tell you, I almost been a fight that day. I saw the look in her eyes. I stood my ground, though. I don't want any. We have to understand that if we are planning on being around the throne, there is a time that we have to say no. That had nothing to do with that sandwich, but I didn't want any. God shall do what he says he will do. A crown of rejoicing is a crown for every saint, for every saved person that has died in the Lord. Isn't that good? Now, what do we have here? We have four crowns that people can receive, right? Souls are going to receive four crowns in the end. A crown of life, a crown of righteousness, a crown of rejoicing. And these crowns, again, are what? Incorruptible. They're not going to fade away. I know some of you ladies like your jewelry, and you look at that sometimes, and it's all tarnished. I need to take this and get it polished up. We had some rings, Anita and I, and they said these rings will never turn colors. They will always be black. Mine is like a weird color now. It's not black anymore. I took one back, and the man said, "I don't know why they told you that ring wouldn't turn. I don't know why they told you that ring wasn't scratched. I'm going to replace it this time, but that warranty is no good anymore." He replaced it, and you know what happened? It turned again. He knew that it was something man had made and that it would turn. It's the right person that had to get their hands on, and that right person was me. I try them. I put sovereign on them. I don't take it off. I lost it doing some gutters or something. I had to get another one. This thing to turn too. But that crown that we're going to receive in the end, it is not going to tarnish. You don't have to worry about it getting scratched up. God is going to take care of you throughout all eternity. You're going to be glorified just as he's glorified. But you know who's going to be glorifying you? You're going to be glorifying yourself.
Amen.
We're going to be around the throne with one another. We're not going to be looking at each other and saying, "Man, you should have looked good." No, we're going to be focusing on God because of what God has done for us. And then the last crown that we want to look at is a crown of glory. A crown of glory. Now you see if you fit in this category right here as to receive a crown of glory or not. We have four elders here. And these four elders, if they continue to do what they're supposed to do and they die in the Lord, these gentlemen, these brothers will receive a crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 through 4. But it's not just for them. It's not just for them. But I want you to see if you fit in this category or not. Some will, some will not. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 through 4. Is that you back there, Brother Theodis? Where you at? Is that you back there repeating that scripture? Read it for me. Oh, thank you very much. Okay. All right, I wasn't picking on you. I just wanted you to read, okay? Sorry, Brother Mark, you have that? Verses 2 through 4.
2 through 4.
Yes.
"The shepherd of the flock of God that is among you, at the shepherd's appearance, you will receive the unfading crown of glory."
Wow. Everything we've been talking about right there, reference to those other crowns, he just really points it out right here for the elders, doesn't he? "For those that shepherd the flock, they will receive a crown of glory that fades not away." Don't have to worry about it fading away. These men have done what they're supposed to do. They have led the flock. They have shepherded the flock. They have fed the flock. They have taken oversight of the flock. They have made sure that they did not do it. Said, you must do what I tell you. If you don't do it, we're going to kick you out. They can't do that. They have to go by scripture. The Bible says, not by constraint, but willingly. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's the old saying, isn't it? You can buy a man a pair of shoes and they penny loafers, and he said, man, how do you tie these things up? You can't do it. Only thing you can do is like Brother Thanopoulos there. Brother Thanopoulos, you still putting pennies in your loafers? He putting dimes in there, big time. Big time. And I know I used to put more of the pennies in mine. My brother used to take them out. But this crown here, you have to do what you're supposed to do. It says, be of a ready mind. Be ready in mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. You know, all of us belong to God. These men, all they're doing is, you know, handling God's business. They know that we are God's children. And the Bible said if they continue to be an example to us, when Jesus appears, whether they are dead or whether they are alive, if they have done or if they're doing what they're supposed to do, the Bible said they will receive a crown of glory. And yes, there will be some congregations still standing when the Lord returns. There will be some men that are elders of the flock that are leading his people the way they're supposed to when the Lord returns. But those that have died doing those things, they too will be raised and they too will receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Isn't that great? But you know, as we think about this crown of glory, it's a crown for every person who feeds the flock. It's for the pastors. It's for the apostles, those that died faithful. And we know one in particular that did not die faithful. He went out and hung himself. That's not a faithful death. He will not receive a crown of glory in the end. And for those evangelists that we read in scripture, you know, we find even Demas, who worked with Paul, who went back out into the present world because that's what he loved. He would not receive a crown of glory in the end. What about those teachers? Those teachers that have done what they're supposed to do, or those teachers that did not do what they're supposed to do, those that have done what they're supposed to do, and those that have continued to do what they're supposed to do, they will receive a crown of glory in the end. For the ministers and for the people that carry out the gospel, they will receive a crown of glory in the end. The Bible is very clear on what we're supposed to do, and there are many people that refuse to do it. It says, go ye into what? All the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, I'm willing to go, but I don't want to go over there. I love Brother Brown. Brother Brown, I always blame it on me about Cecil, Greenwood and Cecil coming back up to Broadway. I always blame it on me. Brother Melvin had made me do those streets over there. Brother Brown did what he was supposed to do. You know, there are some areas where we really don't want to go and knock doors sometimes because of what happens in those doors. I remember Sister Lisa and Brother Gabe and their children was with us, and we was in a particular area across town, and we knocked those doors over there, and one lady told Anita, she said, I don't know why y'all knocking these doors over here. They ain't nothing but a bunch of drug addicts over here. The drug addicts need the Lord too. Amen. We knocked one door, and as I knocked that door, the man, his back was facing me, looking at the TV, and as we knocked that door, I startled him a little bit, and he turned around, and Anita fell out of his arm. I don't know if it was insulin or if it was drugs, but the lady said it was a bunch of drug addicts over there. I gave him a card anyway and told him to come by and visit with us. Let us talk to you about the Lord. You know, everybody needs Jesus, you know. But we find that there are many people that pick and choose where they want to serve God and how they want to serve God, the area they want to serve God in. I always tell you, y'all know what I say about the West End. It's the best end. You know, the people in the garden, Adam and Eve, they were in the best place possible. They sinned. Those people in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his two daughters and his wife, they were faithful, but the rest in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were just doing what they wanted to do. But if we expect to receive this crown of glory, we must be willing to go where God wants us to go, and that's everywhere. Preaching and teaching his word, giving people an opportunity to turn their lives over to him. This is the crown that we're looking at. This is the crown that that many of us we're fighting for. We want this crown of glory. We want it. And the only way that we're going to get it is that we get out and we get busy. That's the only way. We strive. We have some young men here. We have Ian. We have Gary. And I'm not going to call any the other young man's name, Rashad. Oh, I'm sorry. See, Rashad is still single. Claude is still single. Look around. Do I see any other young men in here? Oh, there you are, Jesse. How you doing, Jesse? Roland, you're not in that number anymore. You're pretty old. But then you got my little man right there, Anthony. Is that what's your grandson's name, Brother Brown? No, the little one. Stephen. See, right now, Stephen, being the youngest little thing in here right now as a male, I do believe, a couple of years from now, you start teaching Stephen. He's already learning, but you start teaching Stephen. Stephen, you keep your mind, you keep your body, you keep your life in a fashion that God will be pleased with it. And you know what Stephen can do in the rest of the names I call? Those men, they could look at their lives and they could go and they can look at some of these young ladies that's coming up and they can get to the point that say, you know, I want you to be my wife. And she look at him and she like, okay, if you say so. And they get married. And they began to grow together and they began to continue to grow in the Lord together. And then one day, as they have kept themselves in a fashion that God would be pleased with, those men could be elders in the Lord's church, striving to receive a crown of glory. That's why I was going with that. I know y'all had no idea where I was going with, but striving to get that crown of glory. See, a lot of times we wait until we are old and say, you know, I want to be an elder in the Lord's church, and we can't. Why? Because we're messed up somewhere down the line, and somebody comes out of the woodworks, and they say, oh, no, no, I know good well he ain't no pastor over there. I know good and well he's not a shepherd over there. See, we have to have these men have to have a good report, not only within, but also without. But you just don't take everybody's word, and then you do some investigation. Someone come and they say, you know, you need to check that man out. They'll go, okay, let's go check it out. Let's see what's happening. And sometimes a lot of people are just jealous, so therefore they lying on these people. But then there's sometimes there's truth in it. So now we teach our young men. Those men named I call like Jesse and Rashad and Claude, they might not ever want to get married, but Ian, Gary, and Stephen, oh man, they find them a girl that they want to marry, and they have to look at that girl and they have to say, yeah, you make a good elder's wife. Try that one day, Ian. Try that one day, Gary. Walk up to a girl and say, you'll make a good elder's wife. And they'll be like, what you talking about? I'm trying to get me a crown of rejoicing. I'm trying to get me a crown of glory. I'm trying to get the crown of life. I'm trying to get a crown of righteousness. I'm trying to get a crown that will never, ever fade away. Try it. You just might like it. What crown are you getting? What crown are you getting? Or are you going to get any crown at all? If you're here, you're not a member of the Lord's church, and you die in your sins, there's no crown that awaits you. There's no consolation prize. The only reward that you're going to get is the reward of hell. Let's get our lives in order. Let's do what God expects us to do. Let's do what God desires for us to do. Let's take care of his hope. Let's take care of his plea that men everywhere might be saved. Let's take care of that. Let's do our part because he's already done his part. He sent his son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary so you and I could have a right to the tree of life. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Maybe you're here. And you want to make that confession this morning, do not put off until tomorrow. Do it. Come and say that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do like Kelvin did on Friday. Make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the water of grave of baptism. Arise to walk a newness of life. To continue to be taught what you must do in order to be pleasing to him. To endure to the end. To receive that crown of life. Let's do those things. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold and you're ready to come back. Don't hesitate. Don't put off. Do it today. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.